play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when it comes like the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2022 The Amex, the American Express, down in wonderful La Quinta, California. It's going to be a fun pro-am 3 days before the cut event that we love so much, with so many golf courses to talk about. So to help me break it down, as always, my co-host on Twitter at DFS Golf Guys, Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, man. This is the worst tournament of the year, I think.
Yeah, this is worse than Pebble. Like, I like at least Pebble, you get the views. You get
at least
like
Pebble, you're at fucking Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Pebble, and you get at least the goofy celebrities that kind of, right. Even if it's boring, it's kind of entertaining.
Right.
Where here, it's all like stock traders and guys that own, you know, Fortune 500 companies.
Right.
And Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
Does he play? That's good.
He's usually, I think he's like the main attraction there, which tells you everything you need to know. He's also at Pebble Beach. He's the main attraction for the senior tour that comes through with amateurs. So it kind of tells you everything you know about Carlton and the world he's doing these days. But yeah, it's like, it's fun because we'll play it because we like to play these things. That's just the way it works. But it's tilting because it's, and we'll get into it more, but three courses, you only have shot tracker for one. It's a whole deal. But real quick, before we get into all that fun stuff and things, Sony Open in the books. Hideki Matsuyama, I can still see that shot on the playoff hole, like, clearly in my head. It might be one of the more purely amazing, trying to keep this not safe for work shots on the planet. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, dude. It was, for some reason, the Sony always has some kind of good drama. And you know, that one year that that all the cameramen quit, and they hire a bunch of locals to do the cameras, and then there's no way on site, and there's an absolute cluster. Here, where they had the bomb, a potential like North Korean missile. Mm-hmm. But every year the golf is good. It's, I don't know if it's the golf course, if it's the location, whatever the case is, but it always seems like we always have at least, you know, one or two coming down the stretch that definitely have a chance. And this year did not disappoint in that department. But yeah, that shot that, you know, obviously, first of all, and he's up 5-9 to play. You got to close that out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. But you're breaking up quite a bit, Jesse. You're breaking up quite a bit.
Breaking up?
Yeah, you're breaking up quite a bit. Like your thing's frozen on me and stuff.
I got full connection on you.
Okay, now you're good.
I'm good now?
Yeah. I don't know what that was, but yeah.
But, you know, obviously with Russell Henley having a 5-shot lead with 9 holes to play, you got to close that out. But Hideki, I think, shot 29 on the back. No, 31 on the back. Shot 63 on the weekend to win and birdie the last hole. And Henley just, man, I don't know. I feel like Henley just gave it away more than Hideki won it.
Yeah, it was pretty wild because Hideki, the Saturday run put him into it, as we know, got him in that final pairing, and then the way he performed on Sunday just kept the foot on the gas. And it felt like there was a moment there, like you said, when Henley went up 5 on the front, or it looked like he was going to kind of run away with it. And then all of a sudden that it was, I think it was the par 3 11th, where Hideki, it's a just, he goes for it, goes pin seeking. The pin was on the left side. If you miss too far left, you're in the bunker, you're in trouble, like short side of the green. He throws a seed in there, almost hits the fringe, just right of the fringe. It's on the green, and he's like pin high. And then Henley comes up and goes right in that bunker where you didn't want to be. He bogeys, Hideki birdies, and it just went unraveling from there.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was fun to watch. You know, you had the drama of the Steelers game coming up. You had, I think PGA Tour even, Communications even tweeted out at one point, I know it's halftime of the Steelers Chiefs game and you guys would rather watch that, but we have a playoff starting up on the Golf Channel if you guys want to turn on. So, yeah. It was great. It was
perfect timing. I don't know how they timed it out like that, but the sports gods did us a favor as far as that goes.
Most definitely. So yeah, you couldn't ask for much more. Henley was a chalky guy. He was rolling for people. It worked out pretty well there. Hideki was awesome. Kiz got a nice finish. We got Seamus Power with a nice finish for the week. there's a lot going on there at the same time. Like Sungjae missed the cut, Cam Smith missed the cut. It was just a kind of Steel, roller coaster. Domin. Yeah, so some of those chalky. I Steel's Domin, my boy Rye, he was looking great, and then he missed the cut. That cut line finished, I think, at 5, and that took a lot of people out of the mix right there. But overall, I think a pretty fun tournament. I know some people in the Discord had some nice 6-of-6s for the weekend, so that was good to see. But any final thoughts on the Sony? As it was a fun tournament. It was a wild tournament, and we head west after this.
Yeah,
east. We head east.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we head east to PGA West, which is fun. On the California swing begins. We get a little Phoenix involved in the middle of this as well, but we're on the West Coast swing, as they say. And I guess I kind of hinted at earlier, it's the Amex, the American Express, the Career Builder, the Havana or Hohana, whatever it's called, the Bob Hope, you name it. They've had a ton of names for this event, but it's a pro-am. It's 3 golf courses, so each golfer gets to play all 3 courses. So a 54-hole cut, so it's almost like a no-cut event, the way I look at things. Why don't you give us some past event history, as we do have a lot of event history, just a different name most of the time.
Yeah. So it's been the American Express since 2020. Before that, like you said, Desert Classic. Before that, Career Builder, Humana, Bob Hope. But it's been played at the same place since 2016. I think, yeah, because before that it was at the PGA West Palmer course. Anyways, long story short, because the problem with, obviously, we'll get into it in just a second, but last year, Siwoo Kim, 23 under, 1 shot over Patrick Cantlay. 2020 was Andrew Landry, 26 under, 2 shots over Anser. 2019 was Adam Long with an incredible shot on 18, to shoot 26 under, win by 1 shot over Hadwin and Phil Mickelson. And 2018 was John Rahm, 22 under, playoff over Landry. 17 was Swofford, 20 under, 1 shot over Hadwin. And 2016, which is really all that matters, again, because they've played it here since 2016, Duffner, 25 under, playoff over Lingmurth. So it's always been close, at least coming down the stretch. We've had some good quality golf coming down the stretch, and I guess what you would say is, I don't know how to explain it, but anyways, that's all I got.
Yeah, a lackluster field, as some would say. But it's fun. You get some of these great courses people will see on the stadium course where they play that one Sunday. So if you make it to the weekend, you get to play it twice. There's, I forget which hole it is, but the long, long, long hill, if you miss the green, to chip it up is one of the craziest shots you'll ever see. I think it's like 90 feet up or something like that. It's one of the more difficult shots up for sure. But you get 3 golf courses. You get the stadium course, like I mentioned. You get that one, at least 1 round plus the weekend. You have the Nicklaus Champions course, and you have the La Quinta Country Club. The La Quinta and Nicklaus are the 2 easiest courses to score on in recent years, and the stadium course is like top 6, so a lot of scoring can be had here, as if you notice through Jesse's past winners here. They're all par 72s. They're all less than 7,000 yards. The most is like 7,180 on the Nicklaus course, and the one big thing you'll hear a lot is the stadium course is a Pete Dye design. We know that can be a trendy thing on tour. You got Bermuda greens on all these courses, and which is really rare for California, but it's not quite your East Coast Bermuda. It's a little different, but you don't see a ton of it out here. It'll still help Bermuda putters more than others per se. 4 par 3s, 10 par 4s, 4 par 5s on each hole. Most of the par 4s actually vary quite a bit because they're different courses, but a lot of the similar shots you'll see is between 150 to 175 coming in. That'll be a common trend you'll see there. You'll also notice the rough is not very penal here, so driving accuracy is not as important. Obviously, you still want to be in the fairway if you can to help spin and whatnot onto the green. The stadium course does have water on 7 holes, so that's the biggest thing because it is to replicate. Dye built this to replicate his course, the TPC Sawgrass in Florida that he made. So there's a lot of water involved on this golf course. But in the reality of it, if you avoid the water, you're going to score. It's going to happen. There's like no wind. They set these courses up very friendly because they want the amateurs to actually finish the round. So it's like they
inside showed of stuff. 7 hours.
Exactly. They showed stuff that, because they used to have like Q school and stuff at the stadium course. And if you go on Golf Digest, it's one of the hardest courses in America, except they make it easy because you want these amateurs to get through it. Like if they set it up for the qualifier, the Q school, these guys would be shooting like probably 4 or 5 under. And like, it'd be like almost US Open type stuff, but it's a little different. So you know, just approach game, tee to green game. You just run hot with the putter game. Like that's like the biggest things. Like I said, you don't need a driver here. You can need a lesson driver because they're shorter courses. You want to take advantage of the par fives. They're gettable. They're very gettable. And two, like at worst, you should be birdieing these holes. But it's like you don't have a lot of crazy stats that you'd expect from other golf courses because you're playing three different golf courses. Yeah. So it makes it tricky. What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, it's very resort style courses. I mean, they're, and like you said, they set them up easy so that amateurs can get around relatively quickly. Obviously, tee to green approach, like you said. I mean, the problem with the course history here is, especially if you like, you look at the strokes gained stats, is we've on the past only had one golf course out of the three with shot tracker. Therefore, you're only getting really one. You know, you're only getting one course that actually has the strokes gained data. So it's not so much course history. Maybe, you know, history of finishes. You know, the mental grind of, like we talk about all the time at Pebble, you know, just being able to grind with
long you know, rounds of golf.
Yeah. With other, you know, playing with amateurs. So yeah, I mean, it's birdie or better. You know, these guys are, you got to get to 20 under at least to win. So you got to put up a lot of birdies.
Yeah. And they showed, looking at Fantasy National, the kind of normal cut line, cause it's 3 days, is like -9, -10. So yeah, you got to be going like roughly 4 under probably every day just to feel comfortable. and it's one of those things, if you're playing showdown most of the time, not always, but play La Quinta.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say. Maybe follow it up with some Jack Nicklaus. I'd avoid the stadium if you can. At the same time, you could play stadium guys and get low ownership and fly.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. You get lower ownership of those guys at stadium because everybody's gonna say the same thing that you just said. And everybody thinks that way.
Yep.
And is stadium more difficult? Yes. But relatively, is it that much more difficult the way it's set up? You know, I mean, if you got a good golfer on the on stadium. Like
if you have John Rahm on the stadium, take advantage of it.
Right.
But, or like, I got, when we get to fans here, I'll talk about guys that are really good on Pete Dye courses. Well, that's the only Pete Dye course here. So maybe go for that kind of situation and take advantage of it. So I 100% agree with you there. And it reminds me of like RSM, which wasn't that long ago. It feels like an eternity ago. It was like five tournaments ago. It was always like the, you know, the Plantation course was hard and then the Inland course wasn't. Well, it kind of flipped this last year. So if you took the gamble, you got the advantage. So something to think about if you're doing showdown. And these events that are on multiple golf courses are kind of fun for showdown because you can find edges like that compared to other weeks. But it is something to think about. Speaking of FantasyShareSports.com, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. Just this is a good week for certain filters because you have different setups. So since all three courses are par 72s below 7,200 yards, over the last six events at courses like this, DK scoring, Patrick Cantlay, Adam Svensson, Siwoo Kim, Brian Harman, John Rahm, Abraham Answer, Corey Connor. So some names you'd expect to be sitting up there. But Svensson's only in two of the last six events, but he's played well when he's done so. Last six events on Pete Dye Designs, Abraham Answer. Here's one that'll get you some low ownership on stadium day, folks. Hank Lebioda is second in DK scoring the last six events at Pete Dye courses. Another one, Michael Thompson, who's going to be chalkier this week because he's played great in this tournament. But he plays well on Pete Dye. Siwoo Kim, Brian Stewart, and Patrick Cantlay. So that's a good filter. Like Nick Hardy's right there. Like he's eighth on this list. Chan Kim's only played one round here. But you got some guys that'll really do light up the Pete Dye. Could be your edges and your showdowns. And then last six events on Bermuda greens, Johnny Rahm, Siwoo Kim, Patrick Reed, Seamus Power, Abraham Answer, and Denny McCarthy. Check the boxes there. So a couple names that might stand out to you if you're looking at it. Like Jesse mentioned, there's a lot of event history. A lot of recent form can come into play. I will say when I built my model, I left out like par 72 courses under 7,200 bucks. I know a lot of people were doing that. But personally for me, Jesse, when I did it, I had Streelman, Moore, and all these guys at the top where I just couldn't stomach it at all. So like when I took those out, just looked at basically recent form of like stats, it felt a lot more normal per se. So we'll see if I'm right or wrong on that scenario. All right. DraftKings picks. Let's do it. 10K and above. We got four golfers this week. Johnny Rahm at 11.3, Patrick Cantlay 10.9, Scottie Scheffler 10.6, Finau 10.2. Jesse, who do you like?
I mean, it's like, for me, it's John Rahm and then everybody else. It's not even close, especially in my model. Obviously, has won here in the past. You know, the guy's coming off a second place finish, the tournament champions. We know how good John Rahm is. Cantlay's the guy who, like, he might be more popular, though, which is weird to me. Because, you know, the last time out when we were at the tournament champions and obviously only 30 guys, I expected John Rahm to be a lot more expensive than what he was. So are people not going to play John Rahm because he's expensive and they can't fit him in? I don't know. Obviously, Cantlay's been playing very well as well, you know, fourth, first in his last three events. So it's not like he's any kind of slouch, but, you know, I'm going to go with those two guys, and I don't really have any interest in playing the other two myself.
You can make arguments for any of them, like we say all the time. Rahm and Cantlay, I do over the last 24 rounds. I like to do like recent form. Some guys go deeper with their models, but Rahm and Cantlay are 1 and 2 in my model. So yeah. It's like they're, and it's pretty clear. Like Rahm, first in short strokes gained total, first in tee to green, first in ball striking, first off the tee, fifth in approach, 11th around the green, seventh in putting, first in DK points. Like, it's pretty ridiculous what John Rahm is doing at this event. So it's hard to look the other way on that one. And let me actually update my model because it refreshed on me for a second here. But I like both of those two very, very much. There's no sugarcoating that. But after those two, like, if you want to go Scheffler, you can. I'm probably going to pass. I do like Tony Finau a bit. Like, if you're looking at current form and whatnot, he might kind of get overlooked in this event. But he is playing pretty well overall, and most importantly, he's played pretty well here. And that's one thing, if you kind of want to separate the two, because Cantlay and Rahm are going to be very, very popular. Like, Scheffler's 6th in my model. But Finau is 19th, so he might get overlooked by others as well. But when you look at just tournament history here, Finau a 4th last year and a T14 the year before in his previous 2 years. So he can be kind of one of those guys. And another guy we talk about a ton that when you're looking at events like this, kind of playing like a no-cut type event, he's a DK scoring machine. So that's another angle to look at if you want to be a little different. It's worked in weeks past. We played like Hideki last week. He helped out a ton, obviously. So I think Finau could be a nice pivot up here. 9K range. You got Sungjae at 99, Gooch at 97, Seamus 95, Connors 94, Wolf 93, Abe 92, Willie Z at 91, your boy, and Russell Henley at 9,000.
I'm with you. I mean, Power, I don't know. Like, this is a pretty big price jump from him. This is the highest he's ever been priced in a like non opposite field event. It was the Bermuda. Okay. I mean, which really isn't an opposite event, but I mean, there wasn't a lot of people there. It's almost like that. Anyways, long story short, he's obviously been playing well though. 3rd, 15th, 4th in his last 3 events. His course history is okay. Missed cut 19, but the thing about his course history, you know, some guys you just have to kind of say, hey, you know, they weren't playing as good a golf back then. It's not like, you know, it's that important. But he does have in his past an 11th and a 21st place finish at this event. Corey Connors, we all know about him. You know, he missed the cut here the last time he was here, but he's just playing really, really good golf right now. Zalatoris, his first start since the European Tour event back in November. So I'll be interested to see, you know, how he comes out and, you know, what he does. He's never played at this event. And then obviously Russell Henley too. I mean, his course history is really bad. He hasn't made a cut here since 2016 where he finished 49th. But coming off the second place finish where he really should have won, like I said last week. So I think he's okay. I would really lean more toward Power and Zalatoris if I'm up in this range.
Yeah, it's a fun range because I think Sungjae M at 99 is quite intriguing coming off that missed cut last week, but did finish 8th of the century. Played very well here, like 10th, 12th, 12th, like overall. So he's top 12-ing every time he's shown up here. We know he's a birdie machine as well. He's 5th off the tee in this field, 5th in strokes gained total, 6th in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. He could be interesting, especially the ownership projections are coming in low. Sadly, early on here, he's going to be a little chalky. So that's something to think about. Taylor Gooch, also another guy that's playing really, really good golf. could be in play at 97. But I do like Seamus Power. He's 10th in my model. First in par five scoring, fourth in strokes gained total in the last 24 rounds. Playing just great golf. And like you mentioned, he's played very well at this event, which this is what, like, he's one of those guys that I, why I changed my model from par 72, or yeah, 7,200 yards or less, because he was ranked like 89th in my model. And he's not the 89th golfer in this field. So yeah. I'm like, I gotta tweak certain things here to make it work. So I do like Seamus quite a bit. I love Corey Connors each and every week. And then Matty Wolf at $9,300. I'm quite intrigued with Matt Wolf because I'm curious to see how many people roster him, knowing he's kind of been off for a while. Finished T40 and T61 here. Hasn't played since the Houston opener. He was T11. He was T5 at Mayakoba, but took a little break. Other than that, he was playing really good golf to finish out the year. He's a guy that I think, if he would have kept playing the way he had been playing, would be a 10K guy in this field. So $9,300 for Matty Wolf is very, very intriguing. And then last but not least, like, Answer is going to be very popular and Henley's going to be very popular. And I'm going to fade those two this week. It could be really risky. It's just one of my decisions because Henley's third in my model. But the course fit here, course history, scares the snot out of me. So I'm going to stay away from that. And I don't know where his headspace is after last weekend. So I will pass on that one. 8K range, we got Tringali, Patty Reed, Bezenhout, Rose, Fowler, Noren, Siwoo, Ortiz, Johnny Vegas, Luke List, CH3.
Yeah, I mean, Tringali, he's made three straight cuts here, but his best finish in those three is 43rd. So it's like, oh, well, but come off a seventh place finish at the Houston Open, and before that, he missed the cut, and before that, second. I think he's a great GPP play myself at $8,900, because a lot of people will play Patrick Reed. I mean, it's just because it's Patrick Reed and he's $8,800. Mm-hmm. I do like Bezenhout as well. I think we talked about him last week. I ended up not playing him. I thought he was going to be he was 15% owned, which is relatively high, but I thought he was going to be chalkier than that. So I kind of tried to avoid him, and I got burned on it. He finished 17th last week, playing pretty well at this point. And so I was going through the list earlier, and this guy popped up, especially on the course history model that I run, 21st and 10th in his last two starts. Ricky Fowler.
Yep. I was wondering if you were going to bring him up. He's played well here.
And those are the last 2 years, so he has played. It's not been, obviously, we know he's been struggling or whatever the last 2 years, and he's actually had decent finishes at this event, and he's made three straight cuts on tour. He hasn't played since November. Maybe that'll be good for him to, you know, because, I mean, in the past, you know, he would have been at the Hero and shit like that. So, you know, taking some time off. I think he's worth a lineup or three, depending on obviously how many you play. But at $8,500, we know the upside's there. I feel like he will be, you know, I feel like he's getting it back. Is what I want to say. I'm not a Ricky Fowler guy. You know that. Yeah. Anybody who listens to this podcast knows that regularly. I think it's time to start considering him at least. Vegas at 8,100. He's made four straight cuts at this event. He does have an 11th place finish here in 2018, and has made two straight cuts on tour. You know, Vegas just makes a lot of birdies. And last but not least, Charles Howell. We talked about him last week. He kind of fell off on Saturday. He had a really good Friday round, mm-hmm. fell off a bit on Saturday, bounced back decently to finish 36th last week, and has played this course quite a bit. His two straight missed cuts is a little concerning, but I'm thinking that this year is a little bit different for Chuck, especially, you know, we're on the West Coast, so we know how that goes.
Yes, indeedy. The 9K and 10K range will be your chalkier ranges, and it starts to get really fun to differentiate in this 8K range. And Bezenhout's one of the more popular guys, but I do like him quite a bit with you. 17th in my model, but in that 150 to 175 proximity range, he's first in this field. You know, 20th in strokes gained total. He's just a good ball striker. He's not like knocking the socks off anything, but, you know, 19th in approach. He's doing very well there. So I like some Bez. A guy similar, I like the Ricky Fowler take. Don't disagree with it. He's 52nd in my model. But I think it's just because it's still factoring in the bad that Ricky had. And he took off a lot of time because his wife just had their baby the last couple of months, and he's been doing different things. He's growing up, as they say. So he's interesting. Justin Rose at $8,600 has my attention.
Yeah,
that's all I'm going to say. He's 43rd in my model. He's 17th in par five scoring. He's 30th in strokes gained total. When you look over the last few of times here, he's T34 back in 2019. Hasn't played this tournament a ton. But he's also T12 at the RSM, T40 at Mayakoba. He's playing some on the Euro Tour. He's $8,600, and it's Justin Rose. And I'm trying to tell myself, don't play him. Don't play like the Adam Scott disease, basically. Like, just don't play him. But he's $8,600, and you know he was kind of falling off a cliff there for a while, like Ricky Fowler was. But he also, like Ricky, seems like he's kind of getting it back a little bit. Rose is also a big time like corporate dude, so this is kind of his gig. I guarantee one of his 12 sponsors is playing with him. So I don't know if it's his watch sponsor, his car. I don't know what it is, but Rose is very intriguing to be at $8,600. It might be a trap, but like him and Ricky, those two are quite interesting. And right now, like Rose is projected for 6.5% ownership, Ricky almost 8%, both very low compared to most things. I think sprinkling one of those two is definitely worth some sprinkles in your lineups because both guys could pop for sure. I prefer Rose over Fowler, but both very interesting. I'm with you 100% on Johnny Vegas. You know, he's won here before. We know he can go low. Doesn't do horrible on Pete Dye Designs. He can tear apart La Quinta and Jack Nicklaus, like destroy those courses. Massive par five guy, not over the last few months, but overall very, very solid. So he's a guy I don't mind. And then Luke List for me was one that was very, very tough for me to wrap my head around. But T21 here last year, then three straight missed cuts here, and then a T41. He's coming in decent form, though. T10 at the RSM, T11 at the Houston Open, and he ranks fourth in my model. Fourth off the tee, fourth birdie or better, fourth par five scoring, seventh in strokes gained total, 11th DK, 14th in opportunities gained, 151 in putting, as we know. So great at putting, but he's a ball striker, and he's striking it well right now. So Luke List at 8,000 is in my radar as well. 7K, you're going to have the chalky Adam Hadwin, Brian Harman, Knox, Chapman, Kirk, Reavy, Woodland, Todd, Varner, Griot, Long, Glover, Gim, Griffin, Munoz, Thompson, Kate. That's it. 75 to 79. Who you got?
So, you know, I feel like every year Adam Hadwin is very chalky. Let's see how high owned he was.
He's usually very popular.
So last year he came in at 8%.
Wow.
At 8,000. The year before that, he didn't play. And the year before that, I don't know. So, wait, no, there's 2019. Yeah, there it is. 2019, 6%. I mean, I don't know. Like
low owned on great history. That's interesting.
Yeah, I figured he would be a lot higher owned. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut here since. You know, he's never missed a cut here, and he had the top sixes in every event until last year. But I think he's fine. I think Brian Harman is kind of in the same boat. I mean, you know, Brian Harman's finishes here 8th, 21st, missed cut, 20th, 3rd, 11th since 2016. So he does have the one missed cut, but otherwise, I mean, really good finishes, you know, three top 11s, and coming in decent form, you know, three made cuts. I feel like you know, you could play them both, Harman and Hadwin, or you're just splitting hairs if you're, you know, choosing between the two. Rusty Knox at 7,800, four straight made cuts at this event, come off a seventh place finish over in Hawaii. Chris Kirk, another guy who played well last week. He ended up finishing 27th, didn't have a great Saturday round, but does have finished 16th here last year, missed cut, 21st back in 2017. So another guy there. Woodland, I mean, similar boat to what we were talking about with Rose and Fowler. It's just the price here. He finished 16th here last year. He's coming off two straight missed cuts on tour. Before that, he did finish 9th at the CJ Cup. So I think he's interesting. And then Doug Gim at 7,500. He finished 5th here last year and has made five straight cuts on tour. I mean, not great finishes by any means, but, you know, he's another guy at 7,500 that I would highly consider.
Yeah, we're both big fans of Russell Knox. I'm with you on him 100%. $7,800, 6th in the approach, 11th in proximity from 150 to 175. Great last week, and you mentioned the four straight made cuts here with very solid finishes. So I'll go back to a guy, if he, when distance doesn't matter, you just want to be a great approach game. Russell Knox can fit that mold quite a bit, so I like him in this scenario. One guy I don't have checked off right now, but I keep staring at, because we keep talking about some of these mispriced guys. You mentioned Woodland right now. You mentioned Fowler. You mentioned Rose. Cam Champ at $7,800. Like, he pulled out of the century because he got COVID. He's back. We know he's a ball striker when he's on.
How many times has he gotten COVID?
At least twice, yeah.
Like, at least.
Well, something, he doesn't look like the, you know, he's young. He don't care. Like, he's going to go live life type thing.
I feel like he's had it like every other tournament.
Yeah, he's gotten it a few times. That's for darn sure. But he's one of those like perfect GPP plays, because he could win this thing and no one would be surprised at all. They're $7,800. You can't say that about a lot of guys in this price range. He could also miss the cut. No one would be surprised either. So I think he's very intriguing in tournaments at $7,800. Not sure how much I'll have, because I'm not sold on that just yet. But I think it's another guy I got to dig into some more. He stands out as the kind of a potential mispricing at $7,800. The other guys I got here, Adam Long at $7,600, mainly because of the course history, because he's coming in rather rough form, one might say, coming off the missed cut last week. But then, you know, T16 at RSM, T11 at Houston, T22 at Mayakoba, so actually not the worst form. But that was, you know, RSM, big break. First tournament back, missed cut. And, you know, he's won here before, 69th missed cut first. Those last three events here. He's interesting at his price point at $7,600. And then Michael Thompson's another guy, strictly for course history. I won't be overweight on him, but he's definitely a GPP guy at 75. He's played very, very well at this tournament. T5, miscut, T9s. It's all or nothing is what it is with Michael Thompson. So that's perfect GPP type play. T5 last week, T57, T15 his last three events on tour. So he's a guy you can try to roll the dice with if you're feeling frisky.
I like Thompson as well.
7K to 7. Yeah, and Thompson's a guy that does not rate well in the model. So it's one of the, right. It's strictly more of a form thing, like for me. 7K to $7,400, who are you looking at?
I'm going all the way down to 7,200. I mean, Jason Day's at 7,300.
That's crazy.
7,200, Hayden Buckley. Yep. He's never played here, coming off a 12th place finish in Hawaii last week. Brendan Steele missed a cut in Hawaii last week, but has not missed a cut here since 2017. Finished 21st here last year. Kramer Hickok, a friend of the show, Lee Cheney's was on his bag at the Sony Open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so I don't know. I haven't talked. I messaged a little bit with him last week. And Kramer actually eagled his 18th hole on Friday to finish at 5. And at the time, it was looking like 4 was probably going to be the cut, but obviously ended up being at 5 there. So he made it on the number and then, you know, snuck in the top 20. I had a pretty good week. Finished 21st here last year, missed cut year before that, and 40th in 2019. Just a guy that I'm definitely going to obviously have my eye on, especially if Lee's caddying for him.
And
he's, you know, he's got high upside, I believe. Adam Sevenson would be my last year, $7,000. God, Franny Molinari is down here too, but
it's an interesting tournament when I looked over these names. You skipped over Phil Mickelson at 74, yeah, too.
I thought about clicking on Phil, but the thing with Phil, man, if you look at his course history, he hasn't made a cut here since he finished second to Adam Long.
That was Sevenson, the year Phil shot like 10 under the first round.
Yeah. Sevenson at 7,000, 18th here in 2019, which was his only start, and he's coming off a 7th place finish at the Sony last week. Couple missed cuts before that. He's definitely a boom or bust type of guy, but at 7,000, I would be willing to take some chances.
Yeah, this is a range I'm going to be sprinkling a lot. This is one I like Denny McCarthy at $7,400. He's playing great golf, 11th in strokes gained over the last few rounds, over the last 24 rounds. He missed cut here last year, T48, so his form at this event is not great, but he's coming in with at least 5 straight made cuts, including a 10th at RSM, 11th at Houston, 15th at the Mayakoba. So he's a guy you can go with. But if you want some more like boomer bust upside, Patrick Rogers is $7,300, 31st in my model, 12th off the tee, 10th in strokes gain total, 17th in DK points in this field. His proximity is not ideal, so he's going to have to run hot with the putter. That's what you're going to have to go when you're looking at that P-Rodge here. He missed cut last year, T64 the year before. Not the most ideal situation either, but again, for tournament play, he does rate pretty well here. But some of the other guys, like if you just want to get some birdie-making machines, kind of Korn Ferry guys from last year, Love the Hayden Buckley call you made. 100% with you there. Another guy, Alex Smalley. He's $7,200, 24th in my model, 17th in the proximity stats we're looking at. Not a great par five score, but everything else checks out really, really well. And we look over his last few events. He's missed both. He missed cut here, missed RSM, but then 15th at the US or at the Houston Open, 12th at the Bermuda. So he's a guy that we know can go. And I think he missed like on the number last weekend, if I remember correctly, because he kind of fell apart towards the end on Friday. So I like those ones. Tom Hoagie, I'll go back to him. He trunk slammed, bogeyed the final three holes to miss the cut on Friday. And he prevented me from having like four more six or six lineups. So that one stung, but I'm going back to you, boy. Going back to you because you're a birdie man. Fourth in opportunities gained, sixth in par five scoring. He's ninth in my model. So Hoagie at 71. You know a boy we played a lot last year, Jesse?
It's Whaley.
Which one did you say?
Whaley.
Yes. He started to turn things around. T17 last week. Then he finished. He's made every cut. T63 at RSM, T15 at Houston, T64 at Mayakoba, T7 at Bermuda. He's $7,100. He's coming in swinging it very well. So Vincent Whaley is fifth in birdie or better gained in this field and 15th in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. I'm with you on Svensson as well. So definitely some guys down here that you can get some birdies with some kind of older Corn Ferry plays in this event. 6K range, who are you looking at?
There's quite a few, and I'll tell you what here in just a minute. But Snedeker at 69. Swofford, obviously a guy who's won this in the past at 67. He hasn't, his course history since his win is not great. But Lebioda, you mentioned him earlier, right?
Yeah, and he's a Pete Dye specialist.
Yeah. 62nd last year, 17th year before that. He's not played great. Miscut 15th in his last three starts. And before that, he had like 75,000 miscuts in a row. But I think he's worth a shot or two there. Sloan at 6,500. Duke can go low. He'll just make five birdies in a row. Bramlett at 6,500 as well. He does have two straight miscuts at this course, coming off of 20th last week. Tyler Duncan, man. So he shot 64 the first day.
He pulled a Keegan.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I didn't think he missed the cut, but by God, he missed the cut. So he shoots 6 under, 5 over, and then doesn't even sniff the cut.
Yeah,
but he was in the lead for a little while. I mean, like just completely unconscious for a minute, because I remember texting some of my friends like, Tyler Duncan is just going low. 6,500 there. Peter Ulan at 6,400. Miscut here in 2019, 17th in 2018, coming off a couple miscuts, but you know, if he can get it together, I feel like he's got a chance. Mullinax would be another one I would maybe potentially consider. Hadley's down there at the bottom. Hagee. Yeah, it's as low as I'm going. I'm not going to talk about Davis Lug or Joshua Creel or.
Don't, you better not mention one of my guys. I got two guys down below. Don't right. Lolo. So don't offend me. Done. No, just kidding. No, some of the guys at $6,900, Dylan Wu, 39th in my model, finished 20th last week, 51st the RSM, 46th the Bermuda, a guy that can go get you some birdies and bunches. Chad Ramey, 8th in my model, 3rd in ops gain, 15th birdie or better, 5th in par 5 scoring, 16th in DK scoring. That talks about a guy that goes pen seeking, Corn Ferry style. So I like Ramey quite a bit on this one at $6,800. He, if we look at recent events here, for some reason it scrolled up on me. He's never played this event, so it scrolled up on me. But he missed cut last week, missed cut the week before, missed cut T17 to Bermuda. So it's all or nothing birdie specialist, Mr. Ramey there. Davis Riley's another one at 6,800 as well, 28th in my model, 3rd in birdie or better, 8th in DK scoring. He's coming in with 60 T20 last weekend, missed the cut at the RSM, T29, missed cut T7. So if he makes the cut, we go at it. Again, it's basically like a no-cut event. Is the way you should really think about this thing. Duff Daddy, he's won here before. He's 7th in my model, 13th off the tee, 1st in opportunities gained in this field. First. One of the worst par 5 scorers here, but 19th in DK scoring, 13th in strokes gained total. Always low-owned. We talk about him all the time, Jesse. I think he's very intriguing at 6,600. And then two just long shots here. He ranks 30th in my model, 16th off the tee, 7th in ops gain, 10th in proximity. Chan Kim is $6,100. If you want to just go for the gusto and the birdies, he don't look at the past history. Don't look at his current form. He missed the cut last week, but he's a guy that literally it's his putter every time. If he can putt at all, he'll make the cut for you. So Chan Kim at 61 is very he's 153 in putting. And then the other guy I'm going to mention, he doesn't rate out as good as I think he's actually playing, is Paul Barjon. We've talked about him a few times on the show. He's 6,100. Last week he was playing really, really well, kind of slid towards the end, but still finished T48. He's a guy that can get a ton of birdies and bunches. I've tilted him and enjoyed him many times. So if you just want to punt with Kim or Barjon, I have no problem with it at all. Otherwise, get some of Jesse's guys in the middle or mine towards the top of the 6K range, and you can definitely have some fun. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, who's your number one?
John Rahm.
Yeah, it's John Rahm, but I'll go Tony Finau to be different. 9K range.
I'm going to say Zalatoris.
I'm going to go Corey Connors. That guy is I like a lot. 8K range.
Bazenhout.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I'm going to be done. I'll take Bazenhout. I won't try to be cute. 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Harmon.
Russell Knox for me. 7K to 74.
Hayden Buckley.
I'm going to go Vincent Whaley. Yeah, I like that range quite a bit.
Vincent Whaley as well.
Yeah, I like that range quite a bit. And then 6K.
I mean, just flip a 20-sided coin. We'll go with Snedeker just at the top. I feel like it's decently safe.
I'll go Davis Riley. Give me all the birdies. All of the birdies. If you're starting out a cash game lineup, where are you starting? It's tough. It's tough when a basically no cut event.
This week would be rough. I would say Bazenhout. I think Connors is probably cash viable.
Yep.
Somebody lower down, you know, like Howell or maybe even Chris Kirk.
Yeah, I go like Knox, Connors. I guess I'll throw Denny McCarthy in there, but I don't feel great about it, to tell you the truth. But I do feel good about tournaments this week. So what are three guys you start off a tournament lineup with?
John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay.
I'm not kidding you. I know. You can if you're willing to punt. Like, you could go with those two and then go down to like Hayden Buckley and some dudes down there. And
so that leaves you $7,000 if you do that. I don't think many people are going to do that. It gives you a hell of a lot of win equity, too, if you go that route. You know, again, you're guaranteed three rounds out of all of these guys. So it is possible that a 5 or 6 could win.
Yep, 100%.
Just depending on, you know, your finishes and stuff too, and how low your guys go on Sunday. But like, you know, leaving 7,000, I mean, you could really legitimately get somebody like Whaley, Sevenson, maybe even Hickok in there. You still got, you know, you're going to have to dumpster dive a little bit. Don't get me wrong, but that's just the way I'm thinking at this moment.
I don't hate it. Like the way I started looking at some different options, I don't hate that at all. I think either that or going with like Power, Connors, Wolf, like 3 9K guys. I could see me doing some of that too. Some combination, probably at least two people from the 9 and 10K range and probably every one of my lineups. Let's put it that way. Like that's going to be the win equity up higher, especially when we get to the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's pretty much the way to go in this one. So speaking of the DraftKings Sportsbook, you know, John Rahm is 5-1. Cantlay is 9-1. So when you're talking win equity, like Jesse was talking about, pretty clear cut there. Most guys basically 9K and above are 28-1 or less. So but you get long shots here all the time. So anybody that stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, like Zalatoris at 45, you know, I mean, he could – maybe he worked on a bunch of shit and is going to come out on fire. I don't think that's bad odds on him. And then somebody like Harmon at 90, seen shorter knockers. You know, somebody like Andrew Landry, you know, almost win here. So,
yeah, I will say, like, I'm not betting these guys, but Strowman and Moore, like I said, rated out so well in the models for 72, par 72 is 7,200 and less. So, something to keep in mind if you're looking at stuff like that. I think Luke List at 65 is interesting. Bazenhout at 60 are both kind of interesting longer shot options. But I think the fun in this field is like your T20s and your T40s, especially T40s on You get three rounds out of these guys to try to make the cut. You could have some fun in this one. It is 154 golfers this week. It's supposed to be 156. It's 154, so a packed field for sure. But you can get some of these longer guys like Duff Daddy 60-1 or plus 6-1 to be a top 20. That's interesting. If you believe in some of these really long name guys like Davis Riley 6-1. I'm trying to find some more of your boys down here. Like T Dunks, he's 9-1. If you're feeling like a bounce back from T Dunks, if he runs hot, which Brandon Wu's 10-1. Now we're starting to speak my language. Get some interesting ones down here. Barjones 12-1. Let's dance. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Maybe T40. But there's some interesting ones down here. It's a tough field. Long shots have done very well here. Very, very well here. Like long, was it long or Thompson? It was like 600-1.
Long was yeah. He maybe Monday qualified in the event, and I don't even know if he even had odds on him, but he was super long. I do have like a John Rahm NFL parlay. Ooh, nice. Obviously Rahm to win, Packers money line, Tampa Bay money line, Cincinnati Bengals money line.
Ooh. You're really trying to get that plus money out there, aren't you?
It's only 36 plus 36.54.
So that's it. John Rahm's like anchoring this thing down.
375-1.
It's not bad. Not bad. What is it without the Bengals?
We got the Bengals and we're at 13-16. So
that's a big jump. 141-1. Still not bad.
No, but... I mean 141-1 is not terrible if you just have, you know, take the Packers and the Bucks. I do think I like the Packers, obviously they're minus 240, but I like the Bucks myself Sunday.
We'll see. I'm with you. Just got to keep Von Miller off of Tom Brady. That's the biggest thing. Biggest thing for him. But that'll wrap us up as we previewed the Amex for you. We'll have, I believe, next weekend's the Farmers, I believe.
Yeah, actually a pretty decent tournament there.
Yeah, Torrey is always great. It is two courses, which kind of sucks. But the one thing big names. One thing I will say, and it'll probably be better for Torrey, with that ESPN Plus, they're going to have coverage of all three golf courses the whole time. So it'll be better this year than years past. Let's put it that way. So we'll see. That's what they're claiming. We'll see if it's true. But so far, I haven't been able to sit and watch ESPN Plus, but people have said it's been awesome. So have you watched it at all?
No.
Okay.
ESPN Plus, yes, I have watched it.
Some people say it's been great. Like they're actually getting to watch good golf. So we'll see. They're supposed to have all three courses this week with lots of golf shots, they say. So. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I got Torrey coming up, and then you have Riviera. You're going to have Phoenix, then back to Pebble. We got some good golf coming up because I love the West Coast. Plus, I don't have to wake up and pray no one, you know, decided to pull out before I could fix my lineup. So that's always nice. But should be fun. Any final thoughts for the Amex?
I got one correction on my parlays there. I was looking at $10 instead of $1 to win. So I said like 370-1, but it's actually 37-1 if you include the Bengals. It's 14-1 if you don't.
It's because of freaking John Rahm, man. He's not helping you at all.
Well, I mean, he's got the best. He's got best odds of all those.
It's the Packers.
Probably the Packers. Yeah, I mean, but still, I mean, if that hit, that, you know, I don't know. 37-1 doesn't seem as good as what 370-1 was, but
yeah, it's still, you gotta it's fun.
Take out the zero.
And then if you get really bored, go check out Euro. Euro's got some boys coming back, so maybe you can get frisky over there too. You never know. Yep. Tons of fun golf. It's golf season, and lots more coming up. So we'll be back with you guys each and every week to preview your PGA Tour action. But until next time, make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. Catch you guys next time.